Today's message is called Restoration. Restoration. Now, some of you might have undertaken different restoration projects. I don't know if you've ever restored a piece of furniture, you know, gone to a nice, an auction or something and picked up a piece of furniture that had really good structure, and then you went about refinishing it and putting maybe new fixture or knobs on it and changing it around like that. But that's a little restoration project. Perhaps you know somebody, or you might be lucky enough to be that somebody, that has a car, an old car, that was restored. Some cars are just incredible, but as time goes by, they can get a little rickety. Some of the parts begin to wear out, the transmission begins to leak, and the tires are a little bald. But the cars that are really great, people take them and they restore them. And they go over them with a fine-tooth comb and they rebuild them so they're just like new, using original parts. No parts made in China. Original parts. So that car is just as good as the day that it came out of the factory. Maybe even better in some cases, because they have poured so much love into restoring that car. You might have been watching on TV. They always have these different shows that talk about restoring houses. I like watching those. Liza and I, we often spend time watching them restore these houses. And I love it when somebody, if you've ever seen that program, This Old House, you know, that was a great program about restoring houses, because they did everything with so much thought, experience, and knowledge. And they would go through just, you know, little details, and they would share how you restore this old wood floor without having to just tear it out and put something new in, or how to restore that bathtub that was antique with the nice little feet on it. And they had all these little tips and clues for how to restore something. And it was exciting. It was fun. Well, I talk about restoration not to get you excited about restoring a house or a car, although if that's your hobby, I think you're probably having a lot of fun doing it because it seems like something that's good. But talking about God, God wants to restore us. He wants to take us back to original condition of who He created us to be and what He planned for our life. And that's what, you know, this time of year, as we're moving towards Easter in a few weeks, I'm trying to move your minds towards what was God's bigger plan for you. It's a restoration project to bring you back into that same state of being that He created for you from the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world. We had this great Bible study on Thursday. We started a new chapter, Luke 24. And it's talking about the resurrection of Jesus. And when we were doing this Bible study, it was so amazing what God was revealing to us. And let me just read this story. I'll just tell you a little bit about what's happening in this story so you know where I'm coming from. But basically, Jesus has been put in the tomb. 3 days has passed. And here Mary Magdalene and several other women come to the tomb. And they find it open. And they go in, and they see there's no body in there. Nobody. And they're a little concerned about this. I'm sure they began to worry and discuss amongst themselves what could have happened. And in the midst of that, while they were doing that, these two guys in shining garments appeared. I believe they were angels. Shining garments, you know, it's got to be angels there. And the angels had a message for them. And they said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" And they went on to tell them, "He is not here, but He is risen. Remember how He spoke to you when He was still in Galilee?" They're talking about Jesus. So the guys in the bright, shining outfits, the angels, are telling these women, you know, about what Jesus said. He's saying, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." And they remembered His words. So the women had forgotten what He said, but He had explained exactly what would happen. He knew exactly what was going to happen, and He explained it. Now, what was interesting is God began to open this story to us and help us to understand what the most important thing was. And what He began to reveal to us was, He started to have us focus on this empty tomb. The main focus of this, the tomb is empty. Nobody's there. And He showed going into a cemetery, a vision of going into a cemetery where there were no headstones. There were no headstones and there were no grave markers in that cemetery. And then he showed another vision of the tombs, of a tomb being open and nothing being in it. Like a mausoleum, kind of, you know, those big ones that if you go into some of those cemeteries, being open. And grave after grave, Jesus was opening up for us in this vision and so showing us nobody was there. And this was the main point that he began to talk to us about this story, because this is something we need to get revelation about. There's nobody there. Why are you seeking them, as they said? Why do you seek the living among the dead? See, one of the great things that happens in this story, what happens here with Jesus, is that he has restored us back to the way everything was at the very beginning. And when we believe him and we receive that, now that means there's nobody in the cemeteries. Why were there no headstones in that one vision that he showed us? Because there's nobody there. The headstone marks somebody's there. That's their name on it. That's how long they lived. But in this vision, he was showing us no tombstones, no headstones. Nobody's there. Nobody's in this tomb either. Nobody's in any of those places, because there is no death anymore. This was the will of God from the very beginning. This is what he planned, that we would not die, but that we would live. And he now, when we have that understanding about what Jesus did, we now have been restored. Our minds have been restored. Our hearts have been restored. And our lives have been restored back to the original. Restoration. We now live. There is no death. That's what the story's all about. And that's what he was revealing to us. One of the visions that we had was of this graveyard with no tombstones, but there were these swords coming up out of the ground. Just a bunch of swords all over the place coming up. And what they represent is victory. Because a sword represents the truth battling falsity. But not just battling in this case, but now falsity has been defeated. Meaning death has no power. Death has no power now. And you have victory. You have victory in life. You have the victory to thrive. And when I say that you're not going to, that means you're not going to taste death anymore, because it's been conquered through the victory of what Jesus did. He's restoring us back to the beginning. If we go back to Genesis, back to the beginning, talks about what's happening in the very beginning that kind of changed the course of things. But you have to remember, God's got a plan, and he already knew this was going to happen. It's not like God was taken by surprise by what happened in the Garden of Eden. Because sometimes we think, oh my goodness, you know, what a shocking development here, because God had a perfect plan. No, God knows this is going to happen. He's already got something else greater set up for us. So it says here I got to go back to this other vision and explain something, because in that vision where the cemetery was with the swords coming up, there was also a tree. There was a big, beautiful tree in this cemetery. And at first I was thinking of what the tree represented, and I wasn't exactly sure what it represented here. And then God revealed to me, it's the tree of life. The tree of life. Now, if you remember back in the very beginning, in the book of Genesis, it talks about two trees being in the garden. It talks about the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which God says, don't eat from that, because if you eat from that, you'll die. Remember that? And then he talks about the tree of life. And of course, Adam, you know, led by his wife, led by the serpent, ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And listen to what's said, you know, after God comes and speaks to them about this, look what it says in Genesis chapter 3, 22. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. Now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. So God's saying, this guy's now got to go and eat from the tree of life also, or he'll die. He's got to eat from the tree of life. This tree of life is representing Jesus. Jesus is the tree of life. And if you remember in communion, you often talk about, or it's talked about, that you eat the bread, which represents his flesh, which on the deeper spiritual meaning represents God's goodness or love. And you drink that wine, which is his blood, and on the deeper spiritual meaning represents God's truth. So you're receiving God's truth and God's love, and it's coming into you. But you're eating it. And in this verse he said, you've got to put out your hand, take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. You've got to eat. And so here, what we're doing in this is it's exactly what God proclaimed. The tree of life, representing Jesus, we now have to eat of it so that we can be restored back to the way it was. Because remember, before we ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, we were going to live forever. And now we've been restored back to that same place. We're no longer having to fear death. If you have any fear about death, or if there's any question about death in your mind, it needs to be cleansed away. Because it's an illusion. It's a false belief. And when we let that stay there, what happens is fear begins to be risen up in our lives. And if fear is in our lives, now it begins to be hard to live in love. If it starts coming up, it starts to, you know, get over us. What happened with Adam and Eve in the garden? They started to feel afraid right away. They were afraid of God finding them. They started feeling guilty. They started having all this guilt and fear being all over them in that state. But you got to remember, that's why God restored us. He takes the fear and the guilt off of you. See, it's all about forgiveness. Because for us to get from the tree of knowledge and good and evil over to the tree of life, for us to make that journey, we needed help. And we needed to receive forgiveness. Forgiveness opens the way now for us to make it back over to that other side. To get back over to that tree so that we can eat and take from it. That was the plan of God from the very beginning. That's what he wants you to understand. God has great forgiveness. It doesn't matter what mistakes or misunderstandings that you have in your life. It doesn't matter what kind of things you might have thought or done. Forgiveness is there for each of you. And when you receive that forgiveness, he lifts off the guilt and the fear of death. It's no longer there. It's no longer over you. It has no power over you. And now you can do what you were meant to do in the very beginning. Much like a car that's restored to original condition, you can go out cruising. You can cruise in that car. Same thing is true for our life. When we're restored back to original condition, which is what happens when we receive the tree of life, when we invite Jesus to come into our hearts. Now we can go out living, live life. We can live life to the fullest. We can live life with passion. We can fulfill the dreams that are in our heart. God has put dreams there from the very beginning. The dreams are in there. To fulfill them, we need to eat from that tree of life. Because when we do, now we're freed up to live the life that we were created to live, to be the person that we were created to be. We're restored. It's kind of like, you know, when you come across some of these pieces of furniture that need restoration, somebody has taken a piece of beautiful wood piece of furniture and painted it. And they might have painted it two or three times, so there's several coats on it over the years, and they're kind of peeling and coming off. And, well, you just have to strip all that away. And when you strip it all away, the original is still underneath. It's still just as beautiful, and it works just as good as it did on the very first day. You just got to strip all that stuff off. And that's what God does for us. That's why Jesus has that empty tomb, so that we can start to see life, so we can start to think life. The angels do not see death. What they see when they look at graves is they see everlasting life. This is the same way we've got to reframe and change our minds. We've got to see it as everlasting life. That there's always life. This gives you the courage and the passion now to pursue your dreams. You've got to know that all things are possible and that the way is open for you to do greater things. In John 8:52, it says, and this is Jesus speaking, "If anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death." That's a promise before he goes into the tomb. He makes this promise to the people that if you keep it, you'll never taste death, because he did, in order to open the way and restore us back to the original. From the very beginning, Jesus was there. For some people, this is hard to understand because you start thinking about time and you start thinking, wait a minute, no, he only lived 33 years and God created everything a long time before that. So how could Jesus have been there? When you start thinking in that, in those linear or physical ways, it's hard to understand. But we got to think on a spiritual level. And when I say in the tree of life represents Jesus, that's representing also and showing that he was there in the very beginning. And he even says here in verse 58, Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." He is telling them from the very beginning, he was there. He was there from the very beginning. We can pop down here in another one. This is interesting. And he says, this is in 1 Colossians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. He's talking about Jesus. "In him we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to his riches of grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mysteries of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. That he who first trusted in Christ should be praised the praise of his glory." So it's talking about us being redeemed, restored is another way of saying that. Now we just have to be clear about it, that we have that forgiveness. Say amen to that.
Amen.
The way is open for us to now do great things in great ways. We can look at kind of what was happening throughout Jesus' work. He is showing forgiveness because we had to go from being under the law to being under grace. Under the law, there's punishment. Remember, these Pharisees brought this woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. That means they dragged her out of the bedroom. Imagine that, into the middle of the courtyard, into the middle of the public square where everybody is. She's dragged out there. And what did they say? They said, "This woman's been caught in the very act of adultery." Now, under Moses' law, it says we should stone her. Jesus, what should we do? He took a moment and he thought about it. Well, he didn't have to think about it. He was writing in the dirt. I think he already knows what he wanted to do. And he says, he raised himself up and he said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone first." Let he who is without sin cast the first stone is another way to say that. So he's saying that if any of you don't have any problem, you can go ahead and put the law into effect and kill this person. The problem is we've all made mistakes. And under the law, what that would mean is that we should all be killed. But then, of course, if we're all killed, we're not here. What good is that? Right? Doesn't make any sense. But that's not God's will. God's will is for forgiveness. And he forgives all of us. So that we now can carry on to do what we were created to do. He restores us back to original condition so that we can now walk and be exactly like he had planned and created us to be. That we can fulfill the plan of God. And it's all about forgiveness. We have to receive that forgiveness so we can eat from the tree of life and live. So that we can be raised to a whole new level. The level we were at the very beginning. Say amen to that. Now, let me see here. Here's another good verse. It says here in 1 Chronicles in chapter 16 and verse 34, it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." His mercy endures forever. And in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14, it says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." So we are forgiven from all these things. And we're forgiven so that we now can begin to prosper and live in a greater way. What does this mean for your life now? What does it mean for your life? Think about your life for a second. Think of, where are you in your life? Are you where you want to be in your life? Are you struggling in some aspect of your life? Where do you want to be in your life? Are you there? If you're saying you're not there, you're struggling in some part, then it's time to let go of whatever the fear or the worry is, or the guilt. It's got no power over you. It's time to embrace the tree of life. It's time to embrace the power of God, the supernatural power of God. Because that's the answer to breaking every single barrier. If you're struggling with something in your life and you can't seem to get ahead or you can't seem to get out of it, it feels like a vortex that just keeps pulling you back or pulling you down or a quagmire that's sucking you in, the answer is to transform your mind by understanding there is no death. Once you begin to understand that, now there is no fear. And if there is no fear, that means all things are possible. All things are possible with God. When you begin to get that understanding, if there is no death, then there is no fear. And now there is only possibilities and opportunities. This is what God is restoring us for. Because in the very beginning, what did he create? He created opportunities and possibilities for us to have authority and power that we could live an incredible and amazing life. Amen. Everybody say amen to that.
Amen.
And that's what we're going for. But we got to renew that mind to the point where all we see is life. There is no death anymore. Amen. You've got to erase that because God has erased it. All he sees is life. All the angels see is life. That's all there is life. That means there is no fear. And if there is no fear, all things are possible. Then you can start living a life of courage and a life of adventure. And you can begin to pursue your dreams and pursue the desires of your heart with happiness and joy. Just think of the burden that's lifted from your heart when you know that you're free to live a great life. That's the life that you can live. That's the life that God has created for you. Say amen to that.
Amen.
But we have to just change the way we're thinking. If there's no more death, that means there's no death of your dream. Your dream cannot die. Whatever dream you had in your heart, it can't die. If that's the dream that God has put there, it's a living dream, meaning that you can pursue it and you can have it. And everything in your life can change for the better. Everything in your life can be totally transformed. And it doesn't have to take a long time. It can happen immediately. See, what's holding us many times is the false beliefs and the misunderstandings. That's why I always say to you, ask questions about the kingdom of God so that you have clarity. Because as soon as you have the clarity, now that resistance that's stopping you from moving forward is wiped out of your mind. And you can see now the way to where your life is meant to go. There's no obstacle that can stop you. You have the power to overcome everything just by receiving the truth that God is speaking into you. Receive that truth and you will see the light. See the light and you will see the way out of whatever it is that you're working in, whatever you're struggling in. You will see the way out. We just have to see that light, receive that truth, and be transformed totally and completely. If there is no death, that means there's no death of the relationship either. Your relationship with your partner now can flourish to whole new levels. See, when we think about, if we think about that there's death in life, we now put that to everything else. We put it towards the death of dreams, and the death of businesses, and the death of relationships. But if there is no life with God, all of those things are transforming, and they're growing, but there is no end to them. You just keep getting better. You just keep climbing higher. You just keep going to another level altogether. See, we're putting a limited thought, limited thinking we start to apply to every aspect of our life. And now we're limited on all levels. And what God is trying to do is take the limits off. He wants us to see that it's unlimited, that we can go to greater heights and greater levels all the time, and that nothing can stop you. And when those limits come off, and it's limiting beliefs, when they come off, now you can start seeing in a greater way. You can start seeing the truth and living on a higher level. Say amen to that. Amen.